Welcome back to the show, my loves. This week on the Yoga Girl podcast, I talk about trauma and specifically about how childhood trauma can manifest itself in very subtle ways in our day-to-day lives as adults. I share my own experience with a childhood trauma and a sense of underlying stress that I experience every single day of my life. I get into a connection that I'm making with my inner child. And at the very end of the episode, I share how you can connect with your inner child too. You are on a healing journey, and so am I. Let's dive in together. What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leah and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at hero.co. Hello, 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 my darlings. How are you? Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. Why didn't mean to start this show with like a crazy lady laugh? But I don't know where to begin. Oh, I don't know if you listened to last week's episode of this show. I think you did. You know, I was tuning into or just checking in with our listenership yesterday, which is something I do maybe once a year. I don't really look at the statistics of this show, like how many people are listening. I don't like to. This podcast for me is a complete non-performing space. I have zero pressure around recording this show. I don't feel like this podcast is work. I love it. I love talking to you. I love it. I'm just so very aligned and comfortable in my skin when I'm here every week and when I share for Yoga Girl Daily every single day. Like I love it. And I purposefully stay away from looking at the business side of things of this podcast, you know, looking from the statistics side. And I feel like I don't want to know how many listeners I have, because if I look at that all the time, and then if I have a few weeks when listenership goes down, then all of a sudden I might feel pressure, like I have to perform better, right? I have to do better or get interesting guests on the show again, which I never do anymore, or talk about something more exciting, or I would get in my head about stuff, you know, or plan out, like maybe I should plan out the episodes instead of just sitting down and talking to you. And if I would have, you know, like the podcast growing, and I see the numbers go up, I would probably feel the same kind of pressure, like, oh my God, I have to do more. With the podcast, it's doing so well. Like, I would get this almost like FOMO for not, you know, working harder at marketing the podcast and maximizing the potential of the podcast. The podcast for me is a sacred space, and I purposefully don't want to know. You know, I love that you're here and listening, but I don't want to think about numbers and stuff. You know, I really don't want to do that. And I did just a little while ago, for the first time in I don't know how long. Like, I think maybe once a year we have like a little update with the production team? Like, how's it going? And it's always going so well. There's so many of you listening always. I've never had an update where I get like, oh, here's where the listenership is at right now, or where people are listening from, which is really interesting. I've never had an update that made me like sad or, oh no, you know, it's always growing. It's always, you're always so present here with me. But something that was so beautiful in seeing when I was looking at that little report a few days ago was how many of you listen religiously, like listen all the time. How many of you are really here every single week, like all the time, every Friday? You're like, it's podcast day and you're here with me. And even knowing that there's so many of you that have your own little rituals around the show, like you know that there's a new episode and you go to your own little podcast listening chair that you have, or brew yourself a cup of tea or grab your blanket, or you listen when you're taking a walk with your dog or out for a run or commuting. Like, you have your routine and ritual for how you listen to the show, similarly to how I have my routine and ritual for how I share and how I talk to you every week. And there's something so comforting in that for me. Really, really. I would much rather have a smaller group, a smaller community listening to this episode, but listening every week, just knowing that it's a safe space for me to share here, just having that intimate connection with you, than I would having a huge show with people just listening once in a while or tuning in every other month or something like that. Like, it makes me feel very held, to be honest, knowing that there are so many of you that really are here every single week, that really show up here to be with me. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for that. But that is not why I did my little crazy lady laugh in the beginning of this show. You know, if you listened last week, I shared about my longing for rest. I spoke about my struggle and my challenge, you know, having slowed my life way down materially and in time and in commitments and work, having created space in my life, and my struggle with actually internally slowing down, right? Like, my ability to create stress internally, no matter what is going on, this inner critical voice telling me to get up and keep going and work harder. And I shared that last week and I got such beautiful response, just so many people who have those same feelings, you know, who I really know I'm not alone in actually not just feeling this way, but also being in this stage in my life right now. I know there are tons of people out there who are figuring out a new pace of life. Of course, after the pandemic, after, you know, so many people lost their jobs and now are starting again or starting in a new place, or so many people shifted completely their pace in their day or had a big realization of, well, I don't want to live that way anymore, the way I did before. People stepped off the career ladder or, you know, got out of that rat race. And so many of us want to do different things and live a different life. So I really know I'm not alone in that. And I think it was just from getting that response, talking to people mainly in DMs, but also some emails and just some communication that I had over the weekend and the beginning of the week, from you sharing your own stories and saying that you resonated with the episode so much, it kind of kept me in the energy of that in a really big way. Like, I really had that on my mind. I've had a very present week with myself, so to speak, around this challenge that I have when it comes to slowing down and when it comes to rest. And so every day this week, you know, I woke up every day and I really decided I'm going to do something different today. Or actually, after recording last week's podcast, I did future Rachel a huge favor, which I never ever do in this way. I recorded last week's podcast and I went, you know what? I'm going to set myself up for rest next week. I'm going to set myself up for space. So I sat down and I recorded the entire week's worth of podcasts for this week, but I did that last week. So I recorded all the Yoga Girl daily episodes last week. I looked at my calendar and I got everything out of the way that I knew I had that was kind of big and stuff that, you know, that normally I do every day. Like I chip away at stuff every day. I work very erratically. I'm not very structured. I have this great ability of like leaving the kitchen table where Dennis and Leah are sitting and I'm like, I'll be right back. And I go and I spend 15 minutes on my computer and I get the thing done that I needed to get done. You know, like I can hop in and out of work. And I do that for the Yoga Girl Daily Show all the time. I mean, I have middle of dinner with friends, like drinking wine, been like, oh shit, I forgot about tomorrow's episode, which I sometimes do. And I'll like excuse myself as if I'm going to pee or like go to the bathroom or something. And I just sneak away and I record that 5-minute episode, boom, and I'm done. And I go back and I keep having my dinner, you know? It's a superpower of mine. I know that I can leave whatever I'm doing and I can just be laser focused and do a good job over here and then go back to the thing. Whereas my husband, for an example, is very, very, very different, you know, needs a whole, like he needs to be in the space where he does work to be able to work. He can't work on an airplane, can't work in a hotel room, can't work while on the go, like can't really get a grasp of stuff and really get things done unless he is in his quiet, dedicated office. Even like, you know, which sometimes it's like a point of tension between us that I can get really frustrated. Like, hey, Leia's in the bath. We know she's going to be in the bath for 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. She's just in there singing. Like, if you have all these things to do, just do them now, you know? Or like Leia's like playing outside in the garden. Like you have a big, like, you know, there's a lot of moments in our day where there's big chunks of space where we could do two things at the same time. Like you can keep an eye on something over here. Like leave a soup cooking on the stove and then like go through your inbox. Like I do that all the time. But Dennis cannot. He absolutely cannot. And like he needs to sometimes tell me like middle of the day, like I need 4 hours undisturbed in the garage, which is where he has his office. I need 4 hours undisturbed. And he'll tell me that sometimes at like 6 p.m. And I'm like, what? What? Why didn't you do that earlier? He's like, well, it was busy and there was stuff. And then we went for a walk with the dogs and then someone called and then that thing happened and then Leia was here and then I had to go run that one errand. So it's like, it's so different, right? How we work. But I think because I have this ability to get anything done in a very short time and then hop back to this and hop back to that and multitask and all this stuff, it actually means that even when I have a lot of space in my life, I end up sprinkling work all throughout the day. So I have something that I do first thing in the morning and then I do something in the middle of the day and then I do, even if I have like a day off or a day without that isn't full of stuff, it still becomes a busy day because I do a little here, a little there all the time. And a great example of that is the Yoga Girl Daily Podcast, which I record every single day. So on a Monday, I record Tuesday's episode. On Tuesday, I record Wednesday's episode. On Wednesday, I record Thursday's episode. And no one does it like that. Nobody. Nobody in the podcast game. No one does insanity like that. Like right on the edge of the deadline. Like then, you know, record. It's really hectic. It's really stressful. It makes, you know, like regular people. I know a lot of amazing people who have daily shows will go into the studio and record a month's work of daily episodes, like plan out all the episodes that they have for all the weeks and all the things they're going to do because every episode is so bite-sized. Most people do like a 3-minute something and then they do the whole month's worth and then that's done, right? Or at least like do a whole week's worth in one go and then that's done or a couple weeks at a time. And then you don't have to worry about it every day. You don't have to have it in the back of your mind, you know, because really having a podcast like that, it's, you can't just not show up one day. I can't call the production team and go, hey, I don't feel like it today. You know, it's like, it's a daily show. It's out every day. It's a commitment, right? But so last week when I was talking on the show about really this challenge and struggle that I have in my longing, not just to slow the outside of my life down, but to slow my inner world down, I decided to do future Rachel a favor and to set myself up for as much peace as possible next week by doing the whole week's worth of shows in one day, in one go. Not this episode, not this podcast. This podcast, I enjoy recording fairly close to the release because it means we are in sync. I like sharing my feelings and thoughts about what's happening in my life as close to it actually happening, because I know we are all in sync and aligned. It's so bizarre how the things that are on my mind are on your mind. The things moving through my heart are also moving through your heart. We have similarities in our journeys all the time. Like, there's this major synchronicity always happening in the Yoga Girl podcast community. Like, I know it. And if I were to record 3 weeks ago, you know, this week's podcast, like, we would be out of sync, you know. So I like to do them fairly close. But I did everything else. I had a to-do list for this week. I did as much of it as I could last week. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was the weekend. This last week's podcast was out. I had some stuff with the family, and then every Sunday I have a live for the home course. And when the live was done, I realized, wait, like, this new week is coming and I don't have anything. I don't have anything. Like, that's like, wait, it's very strange for me. And it's not like I'm on vacation or something, but I don't have any podcasts to record except for this one that I'm speaking to you in this moment. I don't have any major meeting. I don't have any. I've been doing a lot of, like, interviews and like newspaper stuff and radio stuff since I came to Sweden. I don't have anything like that. I have no major project I'm working on. I don't have anything, right? I just have space this week. Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language, I guarantee it'll be one of your new favorite sounds too. Be a better you with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you have learned in the real world. I absolutely love using Babbel. Their convenient courses have helped both me and my husband learn real-life conversation skills in a different language. He's learning Swedish, of course, and I've been trying my hand at French again. It is so easy to learn how to order food, how to ask for directions, speak to merchants, and all without having to consult language apps while on vacation, or in my husband's case, living here in Sweden with me. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off of your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/yoga. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/yoga, spelled babbel.com/yoga. Rules and restrictions may apply. And I sat with that Sunday night, just this feeling of, oh my goodness, next week, it's just wide open. All of these things that I really want to get to, that bring me so much joy, are waiting for me next week without any interruption. The garden, for example, the garden, which is such a big, big, big thing that brings me so much joy. And I'm squeezing in here and there what I can, you know, the time that I have. But I have 5,000 liters of soil lying next to my car, up front, like in the front yard, that I need to shovel into my garden beds that I just finished like putting together, but they're not 100% ready. So it's a big project. I'll tell you all about it. But I have so much to do in the garden, and it's not like I have things to do. It's like I have things I get to do in the garden. I get to immerse myself in this huge passion that I have, which is creating this vegetable garden. It's finally warm-ish. Okay, it was -1 this morning. But anyway, it's warm-ish-esque. The sun is out. Spring is actually coming. Like, I'm going to soon, when I finish this, be able to plant things outside. And oh my goodness. And I'm thinking about the week. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm just going to garden all week long. I'm going to bake sourdough bread, which I haven't done in forever. I'm going to forage for some stuff in the woods. I'm going to go for a really long walk just to forage and to look for some mushrooms and some things in the woods that I've been really wanting to do just for the sake of being in the woods. And I'm going to be in the sauna. I was like, oh my God, it's like I have this week full of space. So Sunday night, I was giddy for this week, like a child on Christmas Eve. Like I was just, I get goosebumps thinking about it, how excited I was about this week of space and this week of peace and this week of just joy. And it's so interesting. Of course, this happened without me logically connecting these dots, but this week in the home course is our delight week, which is our week of joy. The theme and topic of the week that everyone in the course is doing right now is exploring joy and play and pleasure and creativity and beauty and fun and rest. And it's this really special week to really explore that. And I'm like, oh my God, and it's going to happen for me, you know, because it's not always that the weeks completely align with what your life looks like. But I'm like, oh my God, I was so excited. And then Monday morning comes and I wake up Monday morning with this feeling in my body that something's wrong. And I don't know what it is. Something's wrong. I didn't sleep so well. I remember several times in the night I woke up like, is everything okay? And I went to go check on Leia in the middle of the night. And I can see her bed from where I lie in bed. Like our house is so tiny. We have our tiny little house and her bedroom is basically in our bedroom. So it's like I can see her feet, which normally is very comforting for me if I ever have one of those like worried nights for whatever reason. But I actually got up in the middle of the night to walk over and check on her. And when I do that, which is really rare that I do that for no reason, like if she's not coughing or something's going on, like before I go to bed at night, every night I just check in on her, you know, just like, oh, she's good. And I go to bed. But to wake up at night and go check on her, like I used to do that when she was a baby, when I was terrified that she was going to just stop breathing all of a sudden, or she would just, yeah, die for no reason in the middle of the night. Like I would just hang over the crib in panic all the time. But I don't do that anymore. And I would go over to check on her and it's really dark. We sleep in a really dark room, both of us. So I would like have to find my phone, go into the office, grab my phone in there and turn the flashlight on just so I could see her, because I didn't want to turn the light on and like risk waking her up. Turn the flashlight on just so I could see her rib cage move, like to make sure she's breathing, you know. And I didn't reflect on that right away that I did that. But later on, I was like, wait, that means something's not right. Right? The fact that when I start engaging in behavior like that, it means there's something's off, right? It means I don't feel good. I don't feel safe. I feel stressed. Like, what is it? So I woke up with that feeling like something's not right. And I check in with my people and my loved ones. Is everybody okay? Everybody's okay. And then we have extended family in Ukraine. My sister's whole family's there. My father's wife's entire family's there, parents, brother, brother-in-law, everybody's there. So I check in with them to see how everybody's okay. I mean, as okay as you can be, but like, yeah, that kind of checking in is a different kind of checking in, right? But because I had this feeling something happened in the night, like what, oh my God, what if somebody died? Something's not right, but everybody's okay. So, you know, Dennis takes Leia to school, and what was supposed to be my like first morning of, oh, I had all of this stuff that I was just going to rest and relish in, like drink my tea peacefully and then spend time in the garden. All of a sudden I realized like, I don't have my shit together. Like, wait, like I'm not ready with a garden. You know, I actually need Dennis to help me put down this net. I need this netting in the bottom of my garden beds. We have a lot of field mice here and gophers and stuff. So we're putting down like a metal wiring kind of in the bottom of the garden bed so that animals can't like eat my vegetables from the ground, basically. But we didn't finish that. So like I couldn't do the soil thing that I wanted to do. And then I realized, okay, well, then what am I going to do? Okay, wait, I have these seedlings that I need to transplant to bigger pots. But then I realized, oh shit, I don't have the right size pots for that. Okay, I have to go to the garden store, but then I go to the garden store and then it's like I'm leaving the house. I didn't want to leave the house. I don't want to not be here. I just wanted to be like in my robe all day and in my pajamas and just take it and then go to the garden store. Okay, I got to do that. And then wait, while I'm over there, oh, we have this thing. I have to go to the welder for this thing that we're fixing from our, looks like our dock broke. So I have this thing, and that's right next to the garden store. So I'm like, if I'm going to the garden store, I might as well go there. And if I'm over there, I might as well do groceries, because that's where we normally do groceries. Like, it would be a waste to do groceries. And then I realized, like, wait, it's like a, like time passed, and I have just been frantically kind of running around the house, feeling stressed and trying to figure a bunch of stuff out. And my whole entire Monday, like, that was what I did. I ended up at the end of the day, like, I drank some tea, but I didn't feel grounded at all. And I just had this feeling like I'm losing time. I'm supposed to enjoy myself. I'm supposed to be rested and resting. This is my time. Like, I've been trying to carve out these days, and now I'm here, but it doesn't feel right. Actually, I feel worse. So I'm just kind of spinning, right? All Monday. Ended up drinking a bunch of wine at night, which I haven't done in a long time, just drinking a bunch of wine, and not like having a glass of wine with dinner with a friend because it's nice, you know, which even that, like, I haven't done in a long time. Like, that is, and I have just had a long period of not drinking at all. And then we had a friend here this weekend, or Leia's godfather. So one of Dennis's best friends, like one of our closest friends, was here, which is really nice and really fun. But like I ended up drinking a way more wine than I wanted to drink wine. Does that make sense? I didn't drink wine because I was just enjoying myself and it was a nice time. Like, I was drinking wine because I was stressed out. And of course, had a terrible night's sleep. Woke up the next day and same thing, right? Up at night, checking on Leia, waking up in the morning, something's not right. And I just start to realize that actually, the less things I have in a day, the more space I have in a day, the more ability I have to rest, like the less stuff I have to do and get done and people to take care of and things to fix, the less at peace I feel. And I could almost cry like sharing that, because it feels so vulnerable to me, and I feel so sad about that. Like, it really feels like a backwards thing that's happening inside of me. It's like, I have spent so many years working so hard, like killing myself, right? Running 1,000,000 miles per hour, making everything happen, fixing everything for everyone, taking care of everyone, working so hard, building. And then finally I slow down, and I have these huge realizations about how I actually want to live. And then slowing down takes time. And I keep having this vision of like, well, oh, eventually I'll have the space. And then the space arrives and peace isn't there, right? And there's something about that that just feels so heartbreaking to me, because it's like I'm running the backwards race. Somehow, like, I'm chasing this dream of rest and actual, like, finally feeling at peace. And then I get there and it was just a mirage, you know, it wasn't real, like, peace wasn't in the space. So this whole week, I've just been kind of very, very present. Like, I've been very present with this feeling of internal stress that I feel all the time. And the fact that it comes from me. Like, it actually comes from me. And of course, like, I'm well aware that the reason I was running 1,000,000 miles per hour in the first place is because I have these childhood traumas and these things going on from my past that have kind of led me to believe that I have to run that quickly, right? That my worth and my value lies in how I perform and how successful I am, or like, I'm lovable when I'm of service. I'm lovable when I fix things. I'm lovable when I take care of people. But on my own, in my own essence, just being how I am, like, I'm not worthy of that. Like, I know I have this stuff in the background. But there was a part of me now that really felt like, I am so worthy of this rest. I've worked so hard. I've done so much inner and outer work. And now it's like my life is finally reflecting what I want. And then I arrive there and no, it's bad. It's terrible. It's I've had a very, very, very hard week. A really hard week, like truly a hard week. And it's worse having a hard week for what feels like no reason, right? It's like I feel guilty saying that. I feel shame saying that. I feel out of alignment saying that because, you know, there's people literally fucking living through a war right now. That's happening right now to people in my life right now. That is happening. And I had dinner yesterday with a family of refugees that lives like right next door or a couple houses away. And they have four kids and Layla is like playing so beautifully with them. And it's such a beautiful family. And I got to hear their whole story of how they came here and how like step by step what their actual lived experience was like leaving Ukraine in the middle of war. And somehow, and I know I talk about this all the time, like the ability to feel joy and our like joy being our birthright, regardless of what's happening in the world. But it's becoming almost like the contrast is too stark for me right now. That I get to have a week here in my perfect life, on my perfect lake, when I don't have to work, when I can just garden and I can just nap and I have this infinite space and time to enjoy myself, and I can't. Like that feels like a slap in the face somehow, you know, while at the same time, like there are like these amazing people who live next door are living through horrors that no one should have to live through. Like there's trauma ongoing, like now, and it's the slow moving trauma that isn't ending. So it's like they can't even process it, you know. Even sitting with them yesterday, I know there's nothing I can do here to be of service or to help them, but to listen and to be here and to like love on them and build relationship and be a friend, and you know, but I can't. Like I can't, there's nothing even to process, right? Because it's ongoing and who knows how long it's going to last. It's not in the past, it's now, you know? So no one can even start putting it behind them and start doing any kind of like, how do you heal when the trauma is happening? You can't. And somehow like the contrast of this has just made me, I really feel this whole week that that the more, almost like the more I was trying to lean into joy and rest, the more I found reasons why I shouldn't and why it's unfair that I have that ability. It's unfair that I have that space given to me, you know. It's unfair that shit is happening in the world and then to so many, you know, and so many of us, like you listening to this, me sitting here talking, we want to help, right? We want to be of service. We're not sitting here greedy as hell, causing people pain, causing people harm. Like we're not those people. We're the people here really wanting to be of service, really wanting to help, really wanting and longing for peace for all, struggling to hold some sense of joy and peace in our own lives while that pain is unfolding. But then when you think about it, the amount of people who are completely fucking unconscious about everything, people who don't even care. There's so many people out there who don't fucking care, who don't even like listen to a single thing that's happening in the world, who just stick their heads in the sand, or people who just focus on themselves and their own individual, personal, monetary success. People who will step on other people to get to where they want to get to in life. Like people who literally build businesses and lives based on other people's suffering. Like there's those kinds of people in the world. And I can't get over, right? Like just this week, I can't get over the fact that the world just looks in this way. I can't. I'm feeling guilty. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling really sad. I'm sad. I'm so sad that this is happening. And I'm so sad that even with the privilege that I have, it's so hard for me to receive the good things that I have. Like, that feels like a heartbreak too, on its, in some bizarre way. Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with our signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. Anyway, so yesterday I had my big, like, breakdown, basically. And I mean, so I had therapy yesterday, and it's very rare for me to enter a session like with my therapist. And I go every week, always. I go every week, no matter what. I go even when I have no problem. I go when things are great, and I go when things are bad. You know, I always go. And I very rarely, I mean, kind of like this podcast, I never have a thought out thing to talk about prior. Very rarely that something's happening and I'm like, oh my God, I need to take this to therapy. Like, I normally just sit down and I take a breath and I go, okay, what's happening now? Because it's oftentimes the thing that's really present in my heart in the moment I sit down for the session, that's the thing I'm supposed to focus on, rather than sometimes the big thing in the back of my head that I think should be bigger somehow, you know? So anyway, but this time, this week, I really knew. It was so clear. I really know now. I feel this stress in my body all the time. All the time. And I've been able to kind of justify it for so many years. And also these past years, as I'm slowing down and since moving to Sweden, like, we have so many things we're figuring out. I'm in the middle of this. I have the course I'm doing. There's always a reason for my stress, right? Always. That it's there. And then being faced with, well, okay, well, it's actually worse when I have nothing there. I feel that stress in a more palpable way. And I told my therapist, and she goes, okay, well, how about instead of figuring out what the stress is, instead of talking about the stress, what would it feel like for you to just really experience it in your body? To sit here with me in a safe space and go there, like actually go there, like go into what this feeling is and really, 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 really dwell in that space and see if you get some clarity and if just there can be a felt sense of recognizing it rather than it being this background noise all the time. And as soon as she said that, you know, I'm really good at feeling my feelings. I mean, I cry all the time. I have a really close relationship with my anger, with my frustration, with my grief. Like, I know what it's like to hold an emotion in my body and to be there. And then for some reason, this time when she said that, I was like, nah, no, no. Like, my whole body went like, no. Like, I don't know what this stress is, but I don't want to be there. And that was a sign for me to, okay, well, there's something huge here. I mean, when I intuitively go, I don't want to look at that. I don't want to feel that feeling. I don't want to, when I don't even want to explore, and I'm the kind of person who wants to explore everything all the time. I want to know why I feel the way I do and where does that come from? And let's get to the root of it. And how can I process it? I'm always on this huge path of healing. And inside I went, no, I don't want to look at this. And then I just know, like, this, whatever this is, it's really important. And I wouldn't be able to be here feeling that. I wouldn't be in a position where I was all of a sudden faced with it and ready to process it or explore what that feeling actually is and where it actually comes from if it wasn't for all of these layers, right? It's like I've been peeling off all these layers of this huge onion of my life, of slowing this down, slowing that down, stopping this, quitting that, creating space here, figuring that out, therapy here, all the stuff, until all of a sudden it's like, okay, wait, now that space that I need, it's actually here. And then all of a sudden I'm face to face with this thing that really felt like a monster. Like it felt like, so she guided me just really simply, really into a place of just like feeling, where in the body do I feel the stress? And the feeling that I have, and I've realized it's near constant. Since yesterday, I don't have it the same, but it's a near constant in my life all the time. All the time. Even in the middle of joy and celebration, in the middle of grief and panic, wherever, like I have this feeling, and it's a feeling right at the bottom of my belly that kind of stretches up toward my heart space that feels ice cold. It's an undercurrent of something really chilling. I can feel it not like deep in the pit of my stomach, but it's like it's right underneath the thick layer of my skin. It's like not the surface of the skin. Like I can actually feel, I've been able to really identify and track where this experience lives in my physical body, like where I'm somatically really holding this, whatever this is. And it's right there, like under the like epidermis, like whatever layer that is of the skin. And it's this chilling, ice cold feeling of pure and total terror. It's terror. It's fear. It's not fear. It's terror. It really is this paralyzing, god-awful feeling of fear. Yeah. And as soon as I tapped into that place, as soon as I gave that feeling attention, like I just completely broke down. Like my jaw started shaking. Like I felt this really, all of a sudden I'm 5 years old. Like I'm 5 years old. I'm exactly Leah's age. And everything in my life is terrifying. And she was able to kind of, yeah, to guide me into a trauma healing exercise of seeing yourself and holding yourself at the age you were when you experienced major trauma and giving yourself what you need in that moment, right? And I've done so much of this, right? I've done so many of those things and retreats and groups and sessions. And like I thought like maybe this thing isn't, yeah, the stuff that happened to me when I was little isn't so big, but this was less about one experience, and that's how I've done it in the past. Like my mother's suicide attempt, like that moment was a huge experience of trauma for me. Major, huge, like scary fights that happened when I was little. That was like huge trauma, like my stepdad dying and like moments where big things happened. And I've been able to go into that moment and that experience. But this was different because it wasn't about that one thing that happened at that time or in that day or that person who died or that scary thing over there. It was this constant feeling. And I was able to really go back into this age. And I don't know what it was like when I was younger, if it was always there or if it was something that really came when I was 4 and 5. But It was this experience that I had when I was little of absolute terror, of not being safe, of life being completely erratic and unpredictable and scary. Like I was scared all the time. And there was no one there to save me, you know, to fix it for me, to protect me. Like there's nobody there. And I'm realizing now that I think by processing these individual scary events that I went through when I was a child, I've been able to find a lot of healing in pockets. Like I have pockets of healing in my life. But then I have these undercurrents of big lived kind of long-term experiences. Like when you're going through, when something scary is happening in your life for a long time, which in my case was, you know, losing parental support. I'm really in the stage of the healing journey where I am now. I'm really, I'm shifting away from blame. It's not about this person did that or this person did this. It's not about that. It's just my lived experience was what it was, right? And it's nobody's fault. It's not because one person was a terrible person and wanted that to happen or wanted to cause me harm. It's just life is what life is, right? And trauma, traumatized people, hurt people, not on purpose. But for me was this lived experience of, I mean, the things that happened then was like at a really erratic, not stable relationship between my parents. And then my parents splitting up in a really abrupt way. And my mom taking us away from my dad in a really violent way, really, really scary way without explanation. Like, oh, we just lost our dad. And then living in different places and finding a new dad and then him dying and my mom not wanting to live and actively trying to die and being actively completely depressed alone with me and my brother for a very long time. It's like, I think about that now, like if that was a sibling of mine or if that was a friend of mine, if that happened to one of my people, like they lost their husband and then tried to die, like I wouldn't leave them alone with her kids. Right? Like I can just sense that there's this huge lack of support overall from every angle. Like no one stepped in to create a sense of safety in this very traumatizing, very, very, very scary place. And things I thought for a long time was just like part of life. Things like screaming and hitting things and like scream crying, like my mom scream crying into a pillow because she was so, you know, so hard. It was so horrible. So all of those things for like a really prolonged, long, long, long time. I mean, we're talking like a section of a couple years there where we were in this pocket of just trauma and no one stepped in to keep us safe. And if I think of that now, like as a mother to a 5-year-old now, like if I all of a sudden didn't want to live anymore, if I all of a sudden started like screaming into my pillow because I couldn't contain the grief I was feeling, how scary would that be for Leia? I mean, I can't even like, it's really hard for me to like put her in that position, even in my mind, like how I know, like if we're late for something and I'm like, put on your shoes and she's not doing it. And I ask her again and I ask her with an edge in my voice and I'm like, Leia, put on your shoes. We got to go. Like just the shift in the tone of my voice when I get a bit angry or frustrated is enough for her nervous system to go like, and she'll be like, Mama, you use your harsh voice. Like she's so sensitive. She's a child, like all children are so sensitive. She's so sensitive. When things happen, you know, she feels feelings or she gets scared or she's sad or all of a sudden like Dennis has to go and he has to go get gas, but she wasn't prepared that he's leaving. Like to keep her little nervous system and her little being safe and grounded and held. Like it takes a lot of presence. It takes a lot of loving, grounded presence to hold her. And when we are children, like things that we might perceive as little can really be frightening and scary, right? So when I try to envision myself as like 5 years old experiencing this trauma and this loss of so many people, and like living with a parent that doesn't want to live, that doesn't want to be there, that actively is trying to die, you know. And I don't remember so much of these years, but there are several years there that are just kind of like gone from my memory. And I think that these years were really, really, really scary. I don't know, because I can only, like, I have little memories. Like I have memories of the screaming, and I have memories of a lot of crying, and I have memories of being like forgotten in places and left in places. And I have like snippets of memories that are all very scary, right? But the chunk of time that's there, I don't remember. But I can imagine, like, I can imagine what it maybe was like. And I could imagine that probably what I experienced for an extended period of time was just terror, was this really scary, scary, scary time. And, you know, it's nobody's fault. Like, it isn't. If I lost Dennis and he died really traumatically right before we were about to get married, and I didn't have support, no one was there for me, I didn't have tools, I didn't have a practice, I didn't have any of the million things I do for self-care now, like if I didn't have anything or anyone and I lost my person, like, I don't know how I would cope. I don't know how I would parent, right? Like, it's not, I've shifted so much of my awareness from like someone did something to me. Like, I used to feel like, oh my God, my mom left me. Like, she was mentally unwell, and she exposed me to these things. She failed to keep me safe. She should have wanted to live. She shouldn't have tried to kill herself. I used to have that thinking, like, she should have done different or better. But I really know now she couldn't do different or better. It wasn't because of lack of love that she didn't love us. It was literally she was incapable, and there was no support. And it still blows my mind that there was no support, but there was no support. Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results, it increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. And as my therapist was guiding me more toward, not toward these individual things that I can remember, but to the underlying overall feeling of being Leia's age, like what my overall life experience was. It was so scary all the time, for so much of the time. And I think even when it was good and when we had stable moments, it was still so very scary, because anything could happen at any time. the feeling was. Like at any time she could leave, she could die. At any time someone else could die. At any time we would have to move. At any time. This feeling of like the other shoe is going to drop at any moment. And because no one then had any tools, I never got to return to a place of feeling safe. I was never at the end of the experience, you know, like enveloped and held and okay, let's go heal this now. Like that never happened, right? So what I think really has happened to my nervous system on this deep, deep, deep cellular level is that I'm in a little bit of shock. Like I have a sense in my body, like I'm experiencing this feeling of terror inside, and it keeps me in perpetual motion. And if I'm doing something, if I'm fixing something, if I'm moving something forward, if I'm making sure everybody's safe, if I'm working, if I'm in that kind of forward motion, I know I'm doing what I can to keep everybody safe. And there's a sense of control in that. There is a sense of calm in that. It's not real, true calm, but there is a sense of calm in the chaos somehow of being able to control a portion of that panic, right? So when all of a sudden I have nothing in my day, and not just for one day, but like I look at the rest of this year and it's this open space, this inner child inside of me that still feels so very scared and so very unsafe freaks out, right? It triggers this internal stress that's there, not because I've been working really hard, or because, not even because I want to succeed or I have this personality to drive and go, but because literally the experience I had when I was little, that being still is not safe. That relaxing means taking your eye off the ball, and taking your eye off the ball is not a safe thing to do. You know, stopping is not a safe thing to do. Slowing down is not a safe thing to do. I have to stay alert. I have to stay on the wall. I have to be here, you know, holding everybody. And it's not true today anymore, right? I don't have to stay here holding everybody. I just have to hold my kid. And even that is something I get to do in shared partnership with an amazing person who holds me, who has my back. Like whatever would happen to us in this part of our lives, like I am so supported. I have so many tools. I am so held. I am held all the time. But there's a part of me that doesn't believe that. And there's a part of me that can't accept that. So when I'm trying to align this new longing of slowing down and opening up into space, all of a sudden the vibration of that really old fear and that really old terror and the trauma of that, it just becomes heightened and awakened. And it's like, wait. What about us? You know, what about this? What about this? Like life, actually, it's not safe. It has been this week a massively healing thing. A massively healing thing. Not to do anything with all of this. Not even to like talk to anybody about it or to process it. It's just to be aware that this is what's happening inside of me. You know, just having that space of, okay, I'm now spinning myself into this frantic place now. And it's like, okay, wait. And I can pause and I can feel into my body. And it's like, okay, I feel that thing there. It's in my belly. It's that cold, cold, scary vibration, like right beneath my skin. It's present there. And it's telling me it's not safe to be here. It's not safe. And it makes me go and look at my day and go, oh my God. Oh my God. How am I going to have time to enjoy? Oh my God, how am I going to rest? How am I going to figure this garden out? Oh my goodness, my tea practice. Like it will take everything that I find restful and enjoyable and beautiful just for the sake of beauty, and take all of those things and make them into something panicky and chaotic and bring me that feeling of I can't keep up. I'm not doing the right thing. Oh my God, it's not okay. So when I notice that and I sense that, it's like just the awareness of that allows me to bring in a level of compassion that I didn't have before, where before I was just kind of beating myself up, like, what is wrong with you? There is a war. Your neighbors, your family, people are in war, and you are here and you can't enjoy your goddamn gardening. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, that's what I was telling myself all throughout the week. What's wrong with you? Like, I'm beating myself up for not being able to rest, for not being able to feel content and relax. And now, just by having that awareness, it's like, oh, wait, this thing is present now. Like, okay, this fear is here now. This stress is here now. This terror actually is here now. And instead of feeling like I have to go fix it and I have to heal it or do a practice or do something, it's like I can just take a breath and put a hand there. And I've been, like yesterday, I don't know how much time I spent sitting in this exact chair where I am now. And I was just envisioning myself as 5. And I mean, I can see her like right now. I have this picture of myself when I was, I think 4, maybe 5. And I have like a really cute, short kind of haircut, like almost like it's like right above my shoulders and bangs. And I'm wearing a dress. It's like white dress with wild strawberries on it that my mom made me, because even in the midst of fucking death and suicide, she still sewed me clothes. I mean, it's just remarkable. There's this picture of me and I'm smiling and I look so innocent and I have freckles. Like I look a lot like Leia in this image that I see. But I was just envisioning her, like this 5-year-old me, so scared. And I really gave myself this long, long space just to sit here and hold her. And there came a point where I could even like I could feel her arms around my neck. The way when I hold Leia and she wraps her arms around my neck, that same feeling, but different because it's not Leia. Like I really felt like my inner child present there. It's a different energy to her. She was lighter. I don't know how I know that. I just know Leia's heavier than I was at that age. And I was just, for the longest time, just sitting there talking to her in Swedish. Like, I've got you. I've got you. I've got you. You're safe here. You're safe now. I have you. I have you. I have you. And I don't know how long I sat there. And really, I'm just like wrapping my arms around myself, telling myself, I've got you. I've got you. It's safe to be here. It's safe for you to rest. It's safe. You can let go. I got you. I got you. You don't have to be the one anymore to hold everything. Like, I've got this. I got you. And this is my week of joy. What the fuck? This is my week of exploring joy. And rest and play. But there's something really precious about this week, about this work, about holding my inner child, about being a mother to a 5-year-old and getting to somehow hold my own inner 5-year-old and also feel so much compassion and understanding for my mom and how unbelievably, unimaginably hard it must have been to be a mom and lose your person, you know, and have no one there. Like, I can't imagine what that's like. And I like to believe, I don't know how time works, but I like to believe that just by giving this space now, like by giving this attention, by giving this wounding, this trauma awareness now, that somehow it also heals then. That somehow, like in this time warp that we're in, like that there is 5-year-old Rachel over there feeling more safe, feeling more supported. And that by mothering my child in a different way, I'm also mothering myself in a different way and mothering my mother in a different way. And like, we're all just holding each other somehow, even though it's really messy and really scary and really painful and really hard. And I don't know if this is the kind of week you had with the synchronicities between us, but maybe there's something similar that you are moving through somehow. And if you are, give your inner child a little bit of space. You know, it's a really, really powerful, heartfelt, vulnerable practice. Just imagining yourself at that age when you were the most vulnerable, when you really needed someone. That age, you're most innocent, that precious, beautiful, perfect little version of you. And just holding them for a little while. Telling them all the things they really needed to hear then. And we don't need to go to a fancy retreat to do that. You don't need a therapist to do that. You don't need anything to do that. You can hang up. I almost said this phone call. You can hang it up. You can end this podcast right now and take a few minutes to just meet yourself in that way. You know, just being here right now, we are all healing. We are all healing. Thank you for listening again. I appreciate you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be back, I promise, next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy this show, make sure you listen, rate, and review, and follow all the episodes of the show available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you normally get your shows. Give the show a 5-star review if you love it. It truly means so much. Of course, thank you so much to my sponsors. Make sure you support them the way they support this podcast. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.